We're coming now to our readings, and Rachel and Davinda are going to come and bring our readings to us.
The first reading today is taken from Matthew 18, verses 16 to 20. It's Matthew 28, 16 to 20. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near to them and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age.
The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life, love the Lord your God, obey him and be faithful to him, and then you and your descendants will live long in the land that he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Getting worried there for a minute. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that it contains. We thank you for the message that you have for us today. Our prayer is that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive all that you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. Famous words, words that even today stir the hearts of those that hear them. They were, of course, spoken by Martin Luther King Jr. at the Lincoln Memorial on the 28th of August, 1963, as part of his speech to over 200,000 people, where they were seeking equality, employment, and civil rights. He had a dream for his children. He had a dream that the world could and should be a better place. He had a dream that he wanted to make a reality for his children and for the generations that followed. He had a dream that ultimately led to his death. We, like Martin Luther King, have dreams. Each of us here at one time or another will have thought about life, where it is heading, what we want to achieve. We have dreams about careers, for family, holidays, cars maybe. We dream about all kinds of things. Some of those dreams are easily fulfilled. We can put things in place that can turn these dreams into a reality. But others are out of our control. We must rely on other people or maybe a specific event to make the dreams become reality. But sometimes dreams remain just that, dreams, and they are never fulfilled. As a parent, I have dreams for my children. I want what is best for them. I dream about giving the best that I can to them. And I dream about the kind of futures that each of them will have. And of course, I want it to be the best future possible. But I can't force my dreams onto my children. They must live their own lives, find their own path, and make their own dreams. I can influence and suggest, but I can't dream for them. I believe that God has a dream also. God has a dream for each of us. In the same way that I dream for my children, God dreams for me. God wants the best for me. He has hopes for me. But he cannot or will not force those dreams onto me. God dreams for you too. He wants the best for you. But he will not force his dream upon you. Now, I don't know if many of you will know this, but I used to be a football manager. Not at the same level as Arsene Wenger, although after yesterday I think I probably could be. But a coach at youth football level. And I used to love training the team, teaching them skills, hopefully helping them each one to become a better player. It was really important for me to see the individual players improve, to see them to grow in confidence, and for them to enjoy themselves. But unfortunately, that philosophy is not one that was shared by some of the parents. They may say that it's all about having fun, but when they stood at the sidelines, fun was the furthest thing from their minds. It appeared to me that some of the parents were seeking to live their dreams through their children. They wanted their child to be all that they wanted for themselves, and so their attitude and their behaviour sought to push their dreams on their children. If they couldn't be a professional footballer, then their son or daughter surely would be. But it seemed to me that this is not so much about dreams. It is more about will. It seemed to me that someone forcing their will onto somebody else. The intentions behind their actions may well have been good, because it is right to want your children to achieve, to be the best that they can be. But it has to be in tune with them and their gifts, and not overriding and walking over what they're good at. God wants the same for us. He wants the best for us. He has wonderful dreams for us, but he does not impose his will on us. He lays out his dream for us and leaves it down to us if we will follow or not. So what is God's dream? What does it look like to us? Well, we see God's dream in both the passages that we have heard read to us this morning. In Deuteronomy 30, we read this: I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Obey him and be faithful. The words in red, if you can read them, are what I believe to be the dream of God. To choose life. To love God. To obey and be faithful. But we see it in the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples just before he ascended to heaven in Matthew 28, where it says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. It strikes me the dream of God there is about making disciples, baptizing, teaching, obeying. But we also gain an understanding of the dream of God as we read the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he shares something of the heart of God for his kingdom on earth. Look at the words. I shall read the whole prayer as it's found in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. If you forgive others the wrongs that they have done you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. Jesus here is encouraging his disciples to pray. He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here we see the word will being used, God's will. What image does that bring for you? In the terms of my football parents, it can have a negative image, can't it? The idea of someone imposing their will can lead us down the road of control, of domineering, or of coercion. Someone pushing their will forward can feel oppressive and uncomfortable, especially if we don't agree. But is that really what Jesus is saying here? Is that what he's saying? Is that the way that we should pray? Or is there another way of seeking for God's will to be done? Is there another way of understanding this word will? And I would say yes, there is. You see, another way of looking at this line in the prayer and God's words in Deuteronomy and Jesus' challenge to the disciples is to see it as God's dream for his creation, his hopes and his wants for all that he has made. So if you read those lines again, may your kingdom come. May your dreams be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. Is a much, in my way, a helpful way of understanding what Jesus is trying to say. You see, God is not like a football parent at the sidelines, pushing and shouting, forcing his dreams onto us. Rather, he wants us to live our lives as a choice to fulfill his dreams, his plans for his world. And when we read the prayer in this way, it gives us a way to look at sin in the world. If God's dreams highlight all that is good and right in the world, then surely sin and evil will equate for the nightmares of God. They are the opposite of what God wanted or intended for this world, for his creation. So Jesus in Matthew 28 called for his followers to be his disciples and to go and make disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple? Look again at those words from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Choose life, love the Lord your God, obey him and be faithful to him. In effect, these words tell us what it means to be a disciple. Through choosing life, we are rethinking our dreams. And that's repentance. Repentance is simply a change of direction, or at the very least, a recognition that the way we are heading is wrong. That our dreams are not all that they should be, or all that they could be. Perhaps a better word for repentance in the context of today's message is rethinking. In the terms of our dreams, it means that the call to repentance requires us to pause and to rethink our dreams. Rethinking our dreams to see their incompleteness, or in some cases, the destructive nature that they can bring to our lives or to those around us. So from repentance or rethinking, we need to take the step of faith or believing. Once we have looked again at our dreams, we are called to trust in God and his dreams. Believing is to seek to realign our dreams with his, to dream our little dreams inside God's bigger dream. Our faith leads us to the next step on the journey of discipleship, the step of receiving or of being receptive. You see, once we've taken that step of faith and sought to realign our dreams with the dream of God, then we are called to continually receive God's dreams and to make sure that we stay in step or in tune with him. This is a lifelong experience, not a one-off moment. If we are to truly live within the dream of God, we need to know it. Being receptive is about learning to love him and obey him. And that brings us back to Deuteronomy again. There comes a point in each of our journeys where we are required to go public with our faith. In this church, we do that by the public declaration of our faith through baptism. Other churches do it in different ways. And whilst we may differ in our approach, the common factor that we share is that each person must reach a point where they declare that we accept God's dream for our life and that we identify with God's dreams. We declare our desire to move away from all the competing ideologies that claim to provide the ultimate dream. Ideologies that distract us from the dream of God. But more than that, God also wants us to enable others to accept God's dream for their life too. If we think back to those words in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we read that Jesus asked his disciples to do something for him. He asked them to be his disciples and to go and make other disciples. Jesus was asking his disciples to carry the dream on, to pass it on to others, and to share the dream of God with the whole world. As Tom Wright says in his commentary, those who believe in Jesus, who are witnesses to his resurrection, are given a responsibility to go and make real in the world the authority which he already has. This, after all, is part of the answer to the prayer that God's kingdom will come on earth as in heaven. If we pray that prayer, and we all have said it this morning, we shouldn't be surprised if we are called upon to help bring about God's answer to that. So when God calls us to be disciples, we are called to rethink, to believe, to receive, to go public. And finally, we are called to practice. The call to practice is the call to learn to live the way that God dreams for us to live. This is not as easy as it sounds. For a start, how do we know how God wants us to live? How do we stay within the dream of God? We know because we can talk with God. We can pray and ask him to reveal his dream for our lives. We can read our Bibles and learn how God has dreamed for his people throughout history. We can learn about Jesus and how he came to reveal God's dream to the world. We can talk to others by coming to church or attending a home group. We can draw on the experience of those around to help us see and understand the dream of God for our lives. Sure, we all make mistakes. We lose sight of the dream from time to time. But we seek to try to live within the dream of God, which is all God asks. When we seek to live as God intends for us, when we seek for God's will to be done, and to bring his kingdom to the world, we are living with a desire to grow and to develop. We are wanting to grow into the disciples that God has called us to be. Our desire to live in the kingdom of God and to be part of the dream of God will inspire in us a passion for growth in our lives and in the lives of those around us. As a church community, we want to encourage people to grow. It is part of our commitment to one another as a church. In fact, it's another one of our five passions. But I wonder, what does that look like for you? I wonder, what are your dreams? What are the dreams that you have for yourself? How do you see yourself fitting into the dreams of God? What is it that you want to do? Where do you see yourself heading? Maybe you have specific dreams in terms of career or family or service for God. But how do they fit into God's dreams for you? Have you paused to ask? Have you ever stopped to think about how your dreams fit into God's dreams? Remember, part of being a disciple is to align your dreams to that of God's, to live your dreams within God's bigger dream. I wonder where you see yourself in 5 years' time. What will you be doing? Where will you be? How do you think you're going to get there? Is it what God wants for you? I wonder, how will you feel if your dreams are not the same as God's dreams? I wonder what you will be like in 5 years' time. I don't mean what will you physically be like, but what is God doing in your life at the moment to enable you to be more like Jesus? And I wonder which fruit of the Spirit or fruits of the Spirit will be more evident in your life as the years move on. What about the church here at Central? What are our dreams for ourselves? Where are we heading? And are we allowing God to drive us? Are the dreams we have for this church the same as the dreams that God has for us? We dream of the new community around us. God is giving that to us, and we are grateful and excited. But what is his dream for that community? And how are we going to help his will to be done there? Over this term, we've been considering what it means to live in God's kingdom. How can we see more of the party of God? More of the mission of God? More of the network of God? More of the compassion of God, of the peaceable revolution of God in action? And how can we enable his kingdom to grow here? To live in the kingdom of God is hard. To seek to do God's will is hard. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to help make the dreams of God a reality. It begins with us, with our lives and our dreams handed over to him. And then through us, God's dreams are made known to the world. Let me encourage you to dream the dreams of God this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have dreams for each of us. Thank you that you have a dream for this world. Lord God, I pray that you would help each one of us to know the dream that you have for us. that you would encourage each one of us to align our dreams with your dreams, that you would encourage us to live for you, to live out your dreams, to speak about you, and to encourage others around to find your dream for their lives too. Father, we long to be your disciples. And we long to make disciples. Father God, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to dream the dreams you have for us as individuals and as a church. And Lord, we pray again that your dreams would be made known, not just in this place, not just in the community around us, but Lord God, may your dreams be known across this city, across this nation, and across the world. And help us to play our part in making that happen. In Jesus' name, we make our prayer. Amen.